Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Flushing girl from Flushing, the nanny named Fran.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield.
Miss Fine.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Oh, Mr. Sheffield, the podcast about the nanny, a hit sitcom from the 90s starring Fran Drescher. I am Sean DePasquale here with...
Toria Sheffield.
Yeah. Hi, Toria.
Hello.
We are back for season 6, episode 10, The Hanukkah Story. It will be unapparent to the audience, but we took a little bit of a break. So I'm very excited to be back recording a Hanukkah episode.
Yeah. I think it was it only a 2-week break? It feels so long.
It feels like we haven't spoken in 6 months. I think it was just 1 week.
Yeah, it was 1 weekend.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Codependent?
Oh my God. Somebody called Freud. I don't know what that means. Okay. So I said the episode's called The Hanukkah Story, which I guess is a playoff of a Christmas story, a very famous Christmas movie. What is this episode about, though?
This is, as you might expect, a holiday episode of The Nanny. And instead of doing, you know, an annual Christmas episode, they did a Hanukkah episode. And it's essentially the episode where Fran is super excited about their first Hanukkah together as a family. But Maxwell, Cece, and Gracie end up having to take a trip to Boston, and a little bit of a Hanukkah situation happens. And it really shows the miracle of Hanukkah.
Yeah. So I have a couple of general thoughts before we dive into like the beat by beat. I liked this episode overall. Watching it now, it felt very corny to me. I watched it with Elizabeth last night, and when it was over, Elizabeth was like, "That was cute and would be great to show kids." She's like, "But it felt very cheesy for like adults." And I was like, "That's fair." But on that note, this is one of the episodes that I will definitely, that I vividly remember from childhood. And I would point to this episode as one of the reasons why I think this show held such a space in my brain for so many years, like to the point that we ended up doing a show, this podcast, you know, this was one of those episodes, the Jewish representation, I didn't have words for it at the time. It was just like, oh, cool. A Jewish thing on TV. That's awesome. I never get to see Jewish stuff on TV, you know? And it's not like I was like, I desperately need to see Jewish stuff to feel seen. I didn't really care one way or the other until I was offered it. And then I was always very excited to receive it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely been articles and a lot of blog posts citing this episode specifically about how, again, like, Fran Drescher and Peter Mark Jacobson, they like really made an effort to not hide like who they were in the making of this show. Like, and one that I read even said, you know, it reminded me that, oh yeah, the network executives, they wanted Fran Fine to be Italian. Yeah. And they were, and you know, Fran Drescher was like, not only am I not going to do that, but I'm going to, you know, have stuff from my life and my childhood and my experience like in this show. And I think, you know, when we talked to Peter Mark Jacobson, he said, you know, and the real beauty of that was that what people saw was like how universal our experiences are and how like we all you know, he was like, you know, there's people from the Midwest who didn't know any Jewish people who like love Fran Fine and, mm-hmm. and actually totally related to her relationship with her mother, you know, the yeah. dysfunctional relationship she has with, you know, like this or that. And it was like really good for people to see. So,
I mean, we have fans of this podcast that represent that part of the audience. People who've reached out to us to be like, hey man, I didn't know any Jewish people growing up, but like, I really like this show and I never really like kind of processed it, but like your analysis of the show has made me realize like, oh, I learned a lot about Jewish people from this show.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, it's cool. I think it's really, really cool to do that. And, you know, it's interesting. I have a friend of my, a Jewish friend who we've talked about this before, how there's this sense that like, you know, there's this trope or the stereotype that like, oh, Jews run Hollywood or whatever. But like when you really break down the numbers, it's like they don't. And there's actually like not that much Jewish representation on screen, certainly. And when there is, generally it kind of falls into a stereotype one way or the other. And more often than not, the Jewish person on screen is not portrayed by a Jewish person. So, this show is the opposite of all of those things, you know, mm-hmm. and it's better for it, in my opinion. But this was a fun one, this episode, I thought.
Oh, yeah, it was super fun. And well, we start off by establishing that it's the first day of Hanukkah, which probably, if you've seen this episode, you know, it's an 8-day holiday that begins at sundown. So it's the day before the evening that it begins. And Fran is in the kitchen making latkes and huge reveal. Sammy is back. We thought they had written Sammy out and we're just going to ignore him forever.
Yep.
It turns out it was so simple, Sean. It's just that Yenna and Sammy are not married yet. They're still boyfriend, girlfriend. So when she kept referring to my husband, she did in fact mean her ex-husband, or not her ex-husband, her husband who died. And she just isn't referring to Sammy as her husband. I will say they have seemed to have downgraded him from fiance to boyfriend.
Yes.
Which was, who knows? Maybe they just decided, you know, they didn't, you know, marriage wasn't their lane. Things were good. Why? If something's broke, don't fix it. We don't know. Or if something's not broke, don't fix it. But Ray Charles and Yetta are at the kitchen table. And this was sort of interesting because I could not figure out how it was relevant to anything else in this episode. But then Maxwell's sister, Jocelyn, arrives. Oh,
I hate her.
Yeah, she arrives unexpectedly. This is the very uptight British sister that like just drinks all her feelings away and is super cold to everybody.
Yeah.
And so she shows up and says that she was there to spend some time with her new boyfriend, who was this like wonderful, successful 36-year-old, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she actually invites Fran and Maxwell to join them for drinks that evening. And Fran's like, oh, sorry, we can't. You know, this is the first night of Hanukkah and it's the first time we're spending it as a family. And, you know, Max knows just how important this is to me. Cut to Maxwell coming down the stairs with his suitcase going, well, I'm off to Boston.
Is it the great Sammy's line there? He just goes, I hope that wasn't Max.
Yeah. Super, super funny.
It killed me.
So that's all before the opening theme. And we're just establishing that again. It's going to be the first night of Hanukkah. Fran is super, super excited to do this with the family. And now Maxwell is obviously not going to be there for it. But again, and we'll get into this, don't understand why Jocelyn was in this episode. I thought there was going to be a payoff. But maybe
I'm giving them too much credit, but this season has done a lot of like setting up one thing for the next episode. So maybe this is like a groundwork being laid for like the next episode or the episode after is going to have a Jocelyn plot line. That's the only thing I can think. Cause I clocked the same thing where by the end of the episode, one of my notes was like, I don't understand why Jocelyn was here.
Like, yeah, it's so random.
Unless they were like, oh, he's got a sister and we haven't shown her in a while and she hasn't reacted to their marriage. So
yeah.
bring her in? I don't know.
I don't know. Or maybe trying to like bring in more family for this holiday episode. But so, well, anyway, then we go maybe. Back to the mansion after the opening credits. We're in the living room. It is decked out for the holidays. It makes me thrilled every time they have that gorgeous giant Christmas tree. And it's just like so festive. And I did
think it very indicative of the world that the Hanukkah episode really heavily featured mostly Christmas decoration.
Well, yes. I'll say this though. The Sheffields, well before Fran, it's so clear. Like that's what they do for Christmas. Like they, but yeah. I forgot to see if there was a menorah in the background, because here's the thing. You don't really decorate for Hanukkah. It's completely different. So I don't hold them. There's something else that happens later in the episode that I'll deconstruct with you. But that, this part, the decorations and decor like didn't bother me. So Maxwell and Fran are in the living room and he's like apologizing and he's like, I'll be back tomorrow. We'll definitely celebrate it tomorrow. Meanwhile, in a sort of like interesting escalation, Niles and Cece are upset that they're going to be parting ways because Cece's going on this trip to Boston with Maxwell. And you know, Niles is like, oh, but we're always bitter and miserable together around the holidays. And then she's like, it's okay. If you think of something nasty to say, just leave it on my answering machine. I'll check it. And then he's like, I hate you. And she's like, I hate you more. But it's clear that they're like saying I love you through that. And well, this definitely – well, they have definitely laid a lot of groundwork for these two to like literally clearly be completely dependent on each other and in denial that they really like just like live for each – for the interactions that they have with each other each day. Mm-hmm. This was definitely an escalation.
Yes. I am rubbing my hands together. Lavaciously. Is that a word?
I don't know what that
is. Maybe it's not a word, but like in anticipation of their union. I'm so excited. I was like, oh, it's beginning. It's finally beginning. We made it. We made it. Season 6, episode 10, The Hanukkah Story. Niles and Cece are shipped now.
Yeah. Yeah. They just, they really are like.
They're leaning into it. Niles goes, but Cece, we've always been bitter together over the holidays. And I was like, these two are weird. Yep. Their kink is weird.
That's so true. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So then also Gracie comes down the stairs because they're going to like do some little college tour up in Boston with her. And so not because she's leaving for college, but she's doing like some summer program there. So the three of them leave. And this was funny though, because the last thing about this scene that made me laugh is Mr. Sheffield keeps saying to Fran, like, darling, like, but I told you this, like, I told you we were going to Boston today. I told you Gracie was coming with us. And it turns out that like, she kept missing details because he was telling her during specific time that she wouldn't be paying attention. One of them being when they were at a Chinese restaurant and she was like, she's like, Max, like, don't tell me stuff while I'm making mushu pancakes. Like, cause she would just be like so completely absorbed in like in certain tasks that like, you know, he should know better than to tell her important information. And then, oh my gosh, I love this detail. We cut to like later that day, Fran is pouring tea for Yetta and Sylvia.
In the conventional sense, we should add, not the modern use of the word. She's not dishing a scoop.
She's not spilling tea. She's pouring tea. But the thing that I loved about this is they're all in leopard print.
Yes.
For like, you know, because it's a nice holiday, so they're wearing their finest. And she's pouring the tea from a leopard print tea set, which was so funny and adorable. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I bet the set designer saw it and was just like, I must have this. Like, we must do this for the show.
We got to be able to find one of those on Etsy, right?
Ooh, oh, I'm positive.
And if not, check our Redbubble in a couple weeks when I figure out how to put a leopard print teapot on there.
Uh-huh. It was so cute. And then so... So they're all wearing it and Fran is complaining to them about, you know, how Max left. And she's like, you know, she's like, Ma, you know how important Hanukkah has always been to me, even since I was a kid. Cut to flashback. Adorable flashback. Fran Drescher is playing.
Oh my God, the best. The flashbacks in this episode are.
Oh my.
Stellar. I was losing my mind.
Yeah, so But so Fran is playing young Sylvia, and then the little girl who has played Fran in the past really well is playing young Fran. And
I've lost my mind, Toria.
It was so good. And so, okay, so young Sylvia, it's like clearly the 70s, she is assembling an electronic menorah, and yeah, she's explaining, you know, to little Fran, like, why they don't have a Hanukkah parade like the Christians have a Christmas parade. And she's like, you know, after all those years wandering in the desert, we just want to rest, okay? We don't want to be marching around. And she's also doing it. She's like assembling an electronic menorah for decor.
Yeah.
Which is like cute and gaudy. And again, Fran Drescher playing a young Renee Taylor is so funny.
So good.
And they just, it was just adorable. Everything about it was adorable. And the girl who plays little Fran has like an over the top little Queen's voice. And then, okay, so and that's all they do. Like, it wasn't like a big reveal. It was just a little flashback.
It was so cute.
Yeah. And then,
and they could have stopped there and I would have been enamored forever, but then they give us a second flashback in another couple scenes.
Oh my God.
Maybe the best thing I've ever seen on this show in my entire life.
Like, is that right? And then, okay, so we cut back to the present moment. You know, they're having their tea, and then Maxwell's sister Jocelyn comes in from the front door, and she's like clearly like kind of dejected. And it turns out that the guy she came to visit, he's not only married with children, but he also has a mistress. And she's like, I'm devastated. But she like doesn't look devastated because she's so English. And then she runs off to get some alcohol. And I did write, where is this going? What is Jocelyn doing here? But then we get into the real meat of this episode, where we cut to Maxwell, Cece, and Gracie. They're driving in Massachusetts. There's definitely a blizzard. And Gracie is calling Cece and her father out on their issues. She's basically like, Cece, you're in a bad – or she's like, Miss Babcock, you're in a bad mood because you miss Niles. And she's like, no, I don't. And then she's like, and Dad, you know, you're in a bad mood because you feel guilty about leaving Fran on Hanukkah. And he's like, no, I don't. And you know, she understands. And also, you know, business is business. This is the flashback where – I think we both lost it. We flashback to, I love this, to it's Mr. So good. Sheffield as a young boy in England. And he's sitting
The lighting, like, they clear, okay, TV, you usually are rushing, sitcoms even more so, like it's always a rush, you know, that's why TV and movies, or TV typically doesn't look as good as movies, right? Because mm-hmm. movies, they have a much longer time to shoot 2 hours as opposed to you having, you know, a less than 3 days to shoot a half hour, you know?
Yeah.
But the time and effort they put into lighting this scene is so extraordinary. And it made me want to live. This is the spinoff. Like, young Maxwell spinoff with fat Niles, little chunky Niles, and like, oh my God, like, give me chunk Niles and young Maxwell, like depressed young Maxwell. It's like Max, young Maxwell is basically like Charlie Brown. Like, he's just like this sad ne'er-do-well.
Wait, did we forget to say who directed and wrote?
Oh yeah, we really did, and that's a huge oversight, and I'm terrible at this job. You'd think as so close to the end, I would have gotten like really good at it, but I seem to be regressing as we go.
Because who directed this amazing?
Okay, well, Peter Mark Jacobson directed. He's Ooh. Been doing it the whole time. And man, he really like pulled out all the stops for this one. And then this one had a lot of people. It was story by Matthew J. Berman and Ivan Menchel. And then, Menchel also was credited with teleplay by, so they developed the story, I guess got story credit, and then Menchel went off and scripted the episode.
Yeah. Well, we've noticed this before. Like one thing that, Peter Mark Jacobson does really well is like kind of homage to, to more like cinema, right? Like, remember on the island episode when they like are like sort of in like a steamy romance and they fall to the, you know, at the foot of the fire, like, you know, we've noticed this season has Had some, like, again, like, very cinematic. And also, I'll say this almost was like a very, like, a Bruce Wayne, a young Bruce Wayne type of thing, where it's like, and the way that it's shot is you don't see his, oh, we didn't even get into what it was. We just literally started saying it was a flashback with Maxwell, but he is at a dinner table, like a very ornate, austere table. It's very long. He's at one end of it. And then his father is all the way at the other end. And it's clear that his father is played by Charles Shaughnessy, but we only see him from the back, which, like, gives this incredible impression of, like formality, and like this father is kind of an ominous figure in the home. And basically little Maxwell yells across this table because he literally has to yell because it's such a large echoing room. And he goes, "Father, do you know what I love most about Christmas?" And the father's like, "What, son?" And he's like, "Spending it with family." And then the father goes, "What's your second favorite thing?" Basically being like, that's not going to be what happens this Christmas. And then little Mr. Chef goes, "Spending time with you, Papa." And then, like, the father's like, "And your third favorite thing?" And then little Maxwell just sort of sadly goes, like, "You're not going to be home for Christmas, are you, Dad?" Or like, "Are you, Father?" And then the father's like, "Well, you'll be all right. Like, I have work to do and business is business," which is exactly what he says to Gracie.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "You know, just go play with the little butler boy. Niles, he'll be your butler one day, you know." And this is when we get young Niles, which was just like, oh my God, this little blonde chunkster comes in, he enters, and he literally goes, he's like, "I won't be a butler forever. I'm going to be a barrister with my own estate." And then this is what killed me.
So sad.
Even at the time, young Mr. Sheffield laughs derisively and then goes, "A barrister, good one." It was, their dynamic was exactly the same 35 years ago.
And it's heartbreaking to hear young Niles have aspirations to be a judge, right? A barrister is a judge.
But also the so idea, like, as bad as we initially feel for young Mr. Sheffield, he still has the exact same a-hole attitude to Niles. Mm-hmm. It was so funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's also a lot of tones of a young Brighton too, quite frankly.
You know, I think Brighton had way more it factor. He wasn't set. Brighton was a little ham. I feel like.
Yeah, but he was, but the entitlement and the, you know, the spoiledness is very bright.
It just made me laugh that even amidst his like his emotional low point, he was, I don't think he was trying to be malicious to Niles. I think he genuinely thought it was a funny idea that that this little boy could ever do that.
He's charmed by Niles.
Yes.
He's like, "You're charming." And Niles is like, "I have real dreams. I'm a human being." And he's like, adorable.
And then we got back to them in the car. And Mr. Sheffield clearly just had this memory of what it was like, you know, being told by someone that you love that, like, business is more important than family. And he's like, "You know what, Gracie? Like, you know, give me the cell phone. I think we should go home. Like, let's call Fran." So we cut to the mansion, the phone rings, Fran picks it up, and it is Maxwell, but the reception's super bad, and she ends up hearing them crash, like, in the car, and I think, you know, and, like, Yetta and
pretty
Sylvia.
Horrific.
Yeah, honestly. And literally, like, dramatic and serious music plays as we cut to commercial break. Like, it was not played for a laugh.
Fran, and you're like, oh my God.
they really are leaning into the you should be worried music and then
comic tragedy moments.
So we come back from the commercial break, and now Fran's on the phone with, like, the state police, and she is being told that it's going to be impossible to find their car in a blizzard. And this was actually really cute. Fran, like, grabs Niles and she starts spiraling, and she's just like, oh my God, they're dead. And then she realizes that Maggie and Brighton are right behind her, and she goes, "Kids, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. It's Hanukkah. It's a night of miracles. Now go into the kitchen, eat some delicious soup that Niles made you. And she ushers them out and then turns around and is like, they're done. And it's like, oh, I do love this about her. Like, what a good mom to be like, I'm clearly spiraling, but like, no, don't upset these children. And then we got the big Hanukkah parallel.
Yes.
We go back to the car.
Yes.
They have clearly like kind of careened off the road and now they're sort of like in a ditch and the snow is building up around them.
They're fine, by the way.
No one was hurt. It was just a scary moment, but they are stuck, right? And it's freezing out there. And Mr. Sheffield goes, well, you know, we have about an eighth of a tank of gas left. So that should last us about an hour. So like, let's hope that, you know, they find us in an hour. And Gracie's like, well, what if they don't? And it's just sort of like left as a scary open-ended question. If they're not found in an hour on an eighth of a tank of gas that's like keeping the car engine going, then they will probably freeze to death.
Yeah.
We cut back to the mansion. This is a scene where I have some questions. I'd love to rehash. But so Fran is sitting outside on the front stoop, like in her coat, shivering. She's super, super stressed. You know, Val comes out and is like, you need to come in. And she's like, I can't. Like, they've been missing for hours. So now we establish that, like, it's definitely been more than an hour, right?
They've been missing for hours. They're probably dead because we know they didn't have enough gas to survive. So I was like, wow, what a grim direction. She's going to become a widowed mother. Although really smart to end the show with her being the widow and having to hire a male nanny. That's where I thought the whole series was going.
It could go on forever that way.
It could go on forever. Every six seasons.
It's like Doctor Who. Then she's out there and she's shivering and hey everybody, Sean liked that one. Who knew he was such a Doctor Who joke fan? I'll have to remember that. What if now I like overuse Doctor Who jokes to try it because I'm like so pleased. I'm like, oh, he's gonna love this one.
You're just constantly shoehorning Doctor Who references. You're like, she's a real Dalek. And I'm like, Toria, what?
And you're like, you know what? It worked once and now you've ruined it. But okay, so while she's out there just like, you know, completely stressed out of her mind, a nun walks up to her and Val and is basically like, oh, I was here visiting a family, I'm double parked. And Val's like, oh, that's my car. And she runs off to move it. And now there's just this older nun with Fran, and Fran sort of just compulsively starts, you know, explaining what's going on with her because she's so distraught. She's like, you know, my husband and my daughter, they're trapped in, you know, they were in a blizzard driving and they can't find them. And I need a miracle. I really need a miracle. And the nun goes, well, why don't we pray together? And Fran's like, pray with you. Like, well, I'm Jewish. Like, will my prayers work? And she's like, of course they will. And so they quietly like, well, they if initially.
Of course Fran's, they will. Jesus was a Jew.
Yeah. Well, but like, so they quietly pray and then they hear Mr. Sheffield being like, we're home. And Fran opens her eyes and they are back. And she's like, oh my God. And he's like, well, I'm also like, why didn't he just call them after? But anyway, he's like, you know, it was incredible. We only had an eighth of a tank of gas and it lasted for 8 hours instead of the hour we thought it would. And she's like, it is a Hanukkah miracle. And here's my question. Do you think that the network was like, we need some Christian element in this Hanukkah episode, so like let's have a nun? Or do you think that the actual show writers were like, let's make this a little interdenominational, let's have like a spirit of collaboration? Like I'm wondering where the idea for that even stemmed from.
Because I think it's probably like, the latter.
Yeah.
I saw it as like, oh, let's stick this in here too, because they have a Christmas tree. You know,
yeah,
or whatever. I don't know. I mean, maybe it was network being like, we can't have an all Jewish episode. What will the racists think? Stick a nun in there. Maybe Jesus helped save them.
I don't know. Here's the thing. It is a beautiful sentiment to, you know, praying together, right?
It is. But here's why it's weird. Because if they hadn't done the Hanukkah thing, and this had been the, like, they pray and then they show up and then she's like, whoa, you know, then like I would have felt maybe more like that feels like a studio came in and was like, we have notes, you know. But they still did the Hanukkah thing. So it feels like, yeah, it feels like it was like a, hey, let's just, let's, everything is, you know, everyone's the same or whatever, you know. That feels like a Fran message, you know?
Yeah, it does. It does. That's the thing, is it did feel like on brand for how Fran Drescher likes, and I assume also Peter Mark Jacobson, how, you know, the type of messaging that they, you know, are want to put out into the world.
That's why I didn't clock it as like a studio interference. It felt, it felt very on brand for them.
And so then we cut to the second night of Hanukkah. They're all there together in the living room as a family, lighting the candles, even Jocelyn. And then
for some
Sammy and Yetta are sitting over by the piano, and Sammy, aka Ray Charles, starts to play "There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays" and singing. And they you know,
perfect,
they just
Hanukkah song.
Well, and then they all just sit and listen, and it's a beautifully lit scene, and then everyone just kind of claps, and that's the end of the holiday episode. And you
Snoopy is dancing on top of the piano as we pull out of the window on a snowy night.
Well, did you notice that, you know, even the cold-hearted Jocelyn has been warmed by
the miracle of Hanukkah
spirit. Which is partly like, is that why she's there? I don't know
why she was there.
But it was you know, it was a Hanukkah holiday episode, which I don't think I'd ever seen before. I can't recall seeing one since. There is the Hanukkah armadillo in Friends, but that was a, that wasn't like, you know, ending with them lighting the menorah the way that like you end an holiday episode with like the Christmas tree, you know.
Maybe Jocelyn was there to represent Haman.
That's a different holiday.
No, it's not. That's Hanukkah.
That's Purim.
Oh yeah, you're right. That is Purim.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah. So I don't know. Why would she be there?
Well, she also not like the villain. Like, in the end, you don't know. We're gonna have to figure it out. Maybe it will be revealed in time. But oh, also the button on this episode, amazing. The button is,
oh my God.
So it's like later that night, Fran and Mr. Sheffield are like sitting on the couch in the gorgeously decorated living room watching a movie. And then behind them, their little child selves show up, like in a sort of like very like fun meta moment. And so it's little Maxwell, little Niles, and little Fran. And there's kind of this light on them in the back, almost like little angels. And little Maxwell goes, wow, look at my life. Like, I have a successful job as a Broadway producer, a gorgeous mansion, and a beautiful wife. And then little Fran goes, and look at me, like, this is all mine. And then they're like, where are you? To little Niles. And Niles is like, well, I must be off in court, obviously. And then grown-up Niles comes into the room, like, holding a plunger and is wearing, like, gloves. Like, he's clearly been, like, plunging a toilet or something. Mm-hmm. And then little baby Niles goes, I'm depressed now. But then Cece walks in and goes, good night, all. And then he goes, ooh, who's she? So clearly he's not depressed anymore, because he realizes he might have a shot at this blonde woman one day.
Yep. It's so funny. Weird, but funny. I liked it.
Yes, I loved it. And I'm just telling you, getting to see little Niles, like, I love when a show, you know, has been running long enough that you just really know everybody and you know all the characters, and then you can really start making these jokes and expanding the reality based on like just their characters specifically, right? And it's like, just us knowing Mr. Sheffield and Niles's toxic codependent relationship as adults means that we were able to like have this scene of what their dynamic was as children, and it was 10 times funnier than if it had happened in like the first season.
Agreed. Completely agreed. Yeah, it was great. This was a wonderful episode. I really liked it.
And with that, should we move into our special Hanukkah segments?
We should. The bummer is I've already played my Jewish segments theme. I played it a couple episodes back. So I don't have a Hanukkah segments theme, but I do have what I have named our season 6 cozy theme. So I now present our segments cozy theme.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
And now, segments.
Are we ready for segments?
We are so ready for segments. Let's go. All right, so segment time. Segments.
Mm-hmm. Should we move on to our segments? Should we get into our segments? Segments with Sean and Toria. Oh my God. I had so many images of us like cooking in a sort of HGTV kitchen. It's also our like, it's not just our cooking show. It's just like our like home decor channel.
Yeah, exactly.
Tips for entertaining. Ooh, the
lots of images of us wearing sweaters, you know.
Yes, I loved it.
Yes. Oh, there's one shot of us in clearly fake snow having a snowball fight.
And then we're having a leaf fight.
Yeah, also with fake leaves.
Yep. Okay. So, favorite lines and moments. One of my favorite moments was truly just the scene that began with Fran pouring tea from a leopard print tea set while wearing leopard print and while everyone in the shot was wearing leopard print. It was such a funny detail. And then I only wrote down one other favorite line because it did make me laugh out loud. At one point in the episode, Fran goes, I have so much to be grateful for. You know, I just had a beautiful wedding. And there's a baby on the way. Kenny Rogers Roasters just opened up around the corner. Kenny Rogers Roasters, it was a quote, casual dining restaurant with rotisserie roasted chicken as its main core. And it was, mm-hmm. you know, the Kenny Rogers, the famous country star, started it.
It was the most modern equivalent is like, or that survived that era would be Boston Market. I think there's still Boston Markets around. That's what Kenny Rogers was like. It was like Boston Market.
Just the funny, it was just such a funny call out.
It's great. It's so specific.
And also, you know, we didn't mention the fact that the baby was on the way. I kept forgetting sometimes, you know, until they would mention it.
They got to give her a little bump.
Well, give her time. Give her time.
So we remember. Mm-hmm. I had some lines I really liked. Well, I mentioned I liked Sammy saying, I hope that wasn't Max as Maxwell leaves the house.
Yes.
I love Sammy jokes are very funny to me. He's a good performer too. He's got great delivery. Mm-hmm. I also really, really, really liked Jocelyn's delivery on, oh, I'm crushed. I apologize for making a scene, which she says like completely emotionlessly.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great. I liked Val saying, I'm on that 2 shakes a day diet. They come with the Happy Meal.
Yes. Well, it's like, she's like, I've been trying to lose weight too. I'm on that 2 shakes a day diet. And Sylvia's like, aren't those shakes expensive? And she's like, no, they come with that. Yes. No, Val.
I also liked Fran saying, Val, you're not 28 and in school anymore, which I thought was a really.
Yeah.
She was 28 and still in school, and we know she didn't do college. So
I know.
I love that. Also, did you notice that they lit the Hanukkah candles backwards?
I did not notice, but I know that was in Goofs in IMBD trivia.
Oh, it was? Oh, I noticed it. I was like, I think they lit those backwards. We went back and watched it again. Elizabeth was like, yeah. We were trying to figure out if maybe we were turned around because of like, you know, things get mirrored and stuff. But I'm pretty sure no matter what way you flip it, she should have lit it from the inside out, not from the outside in. But it's okay.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
I'm not mad about it. It's fine.
And I did not clock any Yiddish, but we did have a lot of Jewy stuff this episode, so I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, there was too much Jewy stuff.
Yeah, arguably Jewish stuff than America even can take. But
we shouldn't joke like that right now. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Call the right amount. I love it. I love seeing myself represented in media. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no Yiddish, but for Nanny Trivia, this is interesting. So earlier in the episode, or in the first scene, actually, Sammy actually asked Fran why Jewish holidays begin at sundown. Mm-hmm. And in the episode, she very like glibly and jokingly says that it's because God knows that it's gauche to wear sequins before dark. But I looked it up because I didn't know either. The real reason is, so it says, the reason Jewish holidays and celebrations begin in the evening is rooted in the biblical story of creation, which teaches that God created night and then day. Night came before day. So on the Jewish calendar, holidays begin in the evening at sundown and they continue through the next day.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I'm just a nincompoop.
Pretty neat, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then
also for trivia, I did find on IMDb, which I thought was interesting, and I did no further research other than what was on IMDb. But it says here that Silent Night is uncredited but performed by Lauren Lane.
Huh.
So I want to go back now and listen to Silent Night in the episode. I didn't even clock them playing Silent Night, honestly, but yeah, I thought that was really, I was like, oh, that's neat. So I don't know. Mm. If any listeners have any more information to fill in there, that would be super tight.
Wow. Okay. And then wrapping it up, the Fran or the CC, did you have anybody or anybody else?
I mean, you know, much like Niles, my hopes and dreams from my youth have been completely dashed and I've found myself in a life I never expected.
I knew you would say Niles for a second.
No, I mean, look, I identified with the Fran. Hanukkah is exciting. It's always been exciting for me. I my parents did a very good job of not making me feel like it was some kind of like sad Christmas alternative, but like a fun, important holiday. I think they actually oversold it. I have since learned that Hanukkah is actually not that important to the Jewish tradition. It's been hyped up by American Jews.
Well, apparently that is a very American Jew phenomenon, yes. Not anywhere else. And in other places, they're like, yeah, no, Hanukkah is like not that big a deal. And yes. They don't even do presents. But here, we felt like we had to compete with Christmas. So
keeping up with the Joneses, literally, yeah. In this case, you know.
Keeping up with the Gentiles.
Exactly.
So yeah, we're like the only place that really does that.
Yeah.
And then I actually do think there's parts of me that related to little Niles, of because, mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of life is not exactly where you think, where you think it's going to be, but it's also then like adjusting and finding joy in what it actually is. So it's like the CC is the metaphor for beautiful thing you get from the unexpected. And then I also kind of feel like the CC in that, you know, she's still super not admitting her feelings for Niles. And I, you know, that would totally be me for many parts of my life. I try now not to do that, but mm-hmm. Sort of just like, I would never admit that because of pride, because of fear of rejection, because of all this stuff. So I guess I'm a real CC Niles this week. But
I mean, the whole CC Niles subplot moving forward was very, very, very satisfying for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So listeners, I wonder when, you know what, we should do the math. This is going to air relatively let's see, when is Hanukkah 2023?
Hanukkah 2023 is close to Christmas. This is one of the years.
It's December 7th.
Oh, it is?
So, yeah.
Oh,
so
I thought this year was close. Oh, well, so wait, this will air.
This will air relatively close.
Relatively close. So if you're hearing this, happy Hanukkah to you and yours. If you are not living in the United States and you're Jewish and you're like, yeah, you guys, that thing is barely important and we barely celebrate it, still a happy Hanukkah to you. And we're sorry that we hyped it up to be much more important than it is. This is just how we were raised and it's not our fault. I blame my parents.
I'm not sorry at all.
Yeah, so, and Tor is unapologetic. If you would like to reach out to us and talk to us and tell us things, you should do that. And you can do it on Instagram or Twitter at Oh Mr. Chef Pod. You can also email us an email at ohmrsheffieldpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're interested in buying some merch with our sweet, sweet logo or some other stuff, you should go check out our Redbubble, which is ohmrsheffpod.redbubble.com. Buy some stuff and that'd be neat. I think that's about it. Tori, you have anything else?
That's all. Thank you all for listening. I'm excited to hear from you, for you to hear from us rather next week.
Yeah, next week when we do season 6, episode 11. The in-law who came forever. Ooh, I should start teasing these. That's fun. Okay. Mm. Toria, goodbye. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
The Flushing Girl from Flushing. The nanny named Fran.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield.
Miss Fine.
Oh, wait, I forgot. We don't end the show that way anymore. Just kidding. Oh, sorry about that, folks. Just kidding. Goodbye. And now, segments.
Are we ready for segments?
We are so ready for segments. Let's go. Segments? All right, so segment time. Segments.
Mm-hmm. Should we move on to our segments? Should we get into our segments? Segments with Sean and Toria. Okay, cool.